Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. Welcome back. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the program, we report on how the wedding industry is serving the increasing number of gay people who are getting married.
I think it's great that now we have this opportunity, and it's great to see so many vendors here who support the community.
But first, we go to India, where gay people and their supporters are looking for political support.
Long term, we have to think political.
Homosexuals in India look for political support, and wedding planners and others serve the growing market of gay couples who are getting married. That's our show today on As It Is. The Supreme Court in India recently re-established an old law that banned sexual relations between same-sex couples. Many say the law has led to discussion about homosexuality, a subject that has long been ignored in the country. India's gay community is reacting with a rights campaign. Christopher Cruz reports.
Shalene Rakesh is a 43-year-old gay rights activist in New Delhi. During his youth, he says, people did not even comment about homosexuality. And he says it definitely was not discussed and debated.
I used to really wonder if there are any other gay people in the country except for me, because I'd never met till much later when I was in college. Really, it was a suffocating silence around us.
That silence was broken about 10 years ago when activists began a legal battle to cancel an old law that banned gay sex. They succeeded in 2009. But last month, India's highest court re-established the law. Now, Mr. Rakesh and others in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community are at risk of legal action. Activists appealed the decision, but the court rejected the appeal. Rights activists say they will not surrender. They now are seeking political support for their cause, an action the Supreme Court suggested. It said changing laws is the job of the legislature. Gender rights activist Anjali Gopalan is with the NAS Foundation. She says working with Parliament to change the law may be the only path open to supporters. There are many conservatives in India's Parliament, including members of the Bharatiya Janata Party. Public opinion studies say the group may lead India's next government. So far, the ruling Congress Party has been the main political supporter of gay rights. For example, it proposed that the Supreme Court re-examine its decision to renew the anti-gay law. However, the Congress Party is expected to lose some power in the next government. Anti-gay political positions are not surprising in India. There is not wide social acceptance of homosexuality. Christian and Muslim groups led the fight for a renewal of the gay sex ban. Even liberal groups in India mostly reject the idea of gays openly living together. However, there has been major change in the past 10 years. The silence that troubled people like Shalene Rakesh is over. Growing numbers of homosexuals in India no longer hide their sexual nature. Magazines for the gay community, like Bombay Dost, are no longer released in secret. The main media groups are also supportive of the subject. And gay demonstrations have increased in number and size. Now, non-homosexual students and young professionals can be found at such events, supporting members of the gay community. 35-year-old reporter Aditi Sengupta is among these supporters. She says the issue is not gay rights, but human rights.
What we need to do right now is take this as a movement for civil liberties. Because today, if we call ourselves a democracy, we have to include everybody, irrespective of sexual orientation, creed, color, religion, everything. It's not just about them. If you look at the larger picture, it's about each one of us.
Activists say ending the newly reestablished law is the goal of the movement. But they say they will also try to begin a social movement that appeals to all Indians to change their minds about homosexuals. I'm Christopher Cruz. Now, we return to Katie Weaver for a report about how the wedding industry is serving the increasing number of gay couples who are getting married under new state laws.
Thanks, Chris. Same-sex marriage is now legal in 17 American states and the nation's capital. Many gay and lesbian couples around the country are now happily planning their weddings. And photographers, food preparers, entertainers, and others in the wedding industry want their business. The number of large industry shows, called expos, that target this new market is also increasing. Love was in the air at one such expo in Baltimore, Maryland, recently. The Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Wedding Expo included more than 30 businesses selling everything from wedding clothes to wine to food. Longtime couple Michael Sofield and Jamie Barnes came to the expo from New Jersey, where same-sex marriage is legal. Mr. Sofield says they will marry in Maryland this May.
I think it's great that now we have this opportunity, and it's great to see so many vendors here who support the community.
Marianne Puschel and her partner began organizing these expos in 2003. That was before same-sex marriage was legal anywhere in the country. She says it is often difficult for gays and lesbians to attend wedding expos designed for heterosexuals. But they do not have those problems at her expos.
They're just immediately understood to be the brides or the grooms, and they go from there, and they launch directly into the joy and the excitement of planning their day.
Christina Dimpiero from Maryland is getting married next year. She says she liked going to an event where she felt at ease.
It's definitely a good thing. We've been trying to do this for a long time, and now that we can actually do it, it feels great.
Her mother, Katia Dimpiero, is excited for Christina and her daughter's girlfriend of 6 years.
She's 26, and we're all ready for her to get married.
Wayne Shant was at the expo to offer his services as a wedding officiant. He is a gay, married, religious leader. He serves a Maryland church with a mainly gay gathering. Mr. Shant says he helps fill an emptiness because many clergy won't perform a marriage ceremony for same-sex couples.
I have been trying to focus more on marriage ceremonies for couples who are seeking to find an open and affirming pastor, which is still a rather rare breed in this country.
Joseph Smith and his husband have a wedding invitation business. He says many business owners are not sure how to communicate with the gay and lesbian community.
Because we're part of it, people feel more comfortable working with us.
Expo organizer Marianne Puschel says the expos with the highest attendance are in states that do not permit same-sex marriage. She notes that that many couples have other ceremonies to celebrate their love in states where laws do not permit them to be married. And that's our program for today. I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for joining us.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
This is the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. India is hoping its economy will improve. In the last 2 years, economic growth dropped to its lowest levels in 10 years. But there are few signs that the economy could return to the high growth rates that once made India one of the world's fastest-growing economies. Gurdet Singh grows crops on about 40 hectares of fertile land in northern Punjab state. The area is financially successful because of farming. Mr. Singh says he plans to buy a new and bigger tractor to make his work easier. Mr. Singh is so successful that he hopes to buy a car after he pays the loans for his new tractor. India's automobile manufacturers have suffered severe financial problems during the past 2 years. Industry officials are hoping that people like Mr. Singh and others in rural areas will begin buying cars again. Vishnu Mathur is the head of the Society of Automobile Manufacturers of India. He says there is weak demand in urban areas for passenger cars. But he says economic gains in India's rural areas could help car makers. Good feelings about the car industry may be a sign that the worst could be over for the Indian economy. Experts believe the economy will grow less than 5% when the 2013 financial year ends in March. But they say the country's agricultural industry will show better growth. The Indian currency, the rupee, lost more than 20% of its value compared to the dollar last year. That should help India's exports, which are increasing. Rafiq Ahmed is the head of the Federation of Indian Export Organizations. He says exports are growing because of the devalued rupee and better global economic conditions. While growth is widely expected to increase, economists say it is unlikely to reach levels seen in 2011, for example, when growth was 9%. Economists say confidence among investors, both in India and in other countries, must return before the Indian economy can improve. Private investment has slowed because investors are concerned by the lack of reform and government barriers to business. Many investors and businesses are waiting to see whom voters will choose to lead the country in national elections to be held by May. Finance Minister P. Chidambaram has said growth will increase to more than 6% in 2014. And that's the Economics Report. For more stories about economics, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. On the show today, we hear music from the performers that will play at the 2014 National Football League Championship game. We also learn about a place where art, science, and history all meet. But first, a report on an old and newly popular birthing practice. Most births in the United States take place in hospitals. Women giving birth are under the care of doctors, armed with modern drugs and equipment. About one in three babies arrive through a surgical operation called a cesarean section. However, a growing number of parents-to-be are choosing a different way. Steve Ember reports.
Emily Jacobs and her husband, Rowan Finnegan, are preparing to welcome their second child. The baby will be born at their home, just like their first child, 22-month-old Elias. The same nurse midwife will help with this birth, too. If all goes well, it will be a peaceful birth without medicine, high-tech machinery, or surgery.
And then after giving birth, straight into my own shower, into my own bed with our new family in our home, and there's just nothing like that.
Emily Jacobs attended medical school, so she has attended hospital births. She thinks doctors consider hospital rules and possible legal risks in administering birth care more than the needs of the women they serve.
It's not an illness to be pregnant. It's a beautiful experience, and if you feel supported and you have the right kind of support, to labor and give birth in your own home is such a gift.
Home births have risen sharply in recent years. There are now about 30,000 such deliveries across the country each year. However, that number still represents less than 1% of all U.S. births. A 2008 documentary, The Business of Being Born, helped increase the popularity of home births. The documentary included film of untroubled births in homes, including some in warm water. Other supporters of home birth have spread the idea with video of their water births, with midwives assisting. Critics disagree about the safety of home births. One study found that babies born at home are 10 times likelier to be born dead. The study found that they are also 4 times more likely to have serious neurological problems. The findings were reported in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Study co-author Dr. Jack Chervenak is with the New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center.
We here on our labor and delivery unit fight for seconds. When an unexpected fetal distress occurs, we do drills so that we plan an emergency cesarean and fight for seconds. If someone is as much as one block away from this hospital, it's too far.
But others say the study had problems. Tina Johnson is with the American College of Nurse Midwives.
We used a lot of flawed data and drew a lot of conclusions that are inconsistent with all of the other research that's out there currently, including another recent AJOG article that came out more recently, citing that home births, planned home births with certified nurse midwives, outcomes are just as safe as midwifery deliveries in the hospital.
Writer Jennifer Block agrees. She says women are choosing home birth for the baby's health as well as their own.
Because if the mother has a spontaneous vaginal birth, that's absolutely the best case scenario for a baby. We know babies benefit from vaginal birth. Their lungs, their respiratory health, their gut health, they are colonized with good bacteria.
And Ms. Block notes that the experience is very different in Western Europe and some other countries. In those areas, midwives care for healthy pregnant women and send them to doctors only if there are problems or known risks.
A popular exhibit at the National Museum of Natural History in Washington explores human evolution. The exhibit includes lifelike representations of ancient primates or hominids, the early versions of us. Paleo artist John Gerchy creates a world that modern humans can relate to. The Hall of Human Origins is crowded with visitors. They study five life-size bronze models. The models show what scientists believe ancient everyday life looked like, starting millions of years ago. In one representation, a Homo erectus struggles to carry a newly killed antelope. Another model shows a Homo floresiensis, surprised by a deadly animal. This look at Homo floresiensis is set about 18,000 years ago. John Gerchy also created the models of hominid heads found in the exhibit. The artist is an expert in prehistoric subjects and ape and human body structure.
Really, to succeed in doing one of these reconstructions, it has to be something you can relate to as a living being that you almost expect to see breathe. And you also have to base it on the best science available, or else you really have just a fantasy.
Mr. Gerchy brings faces from the past to life. He starts with the plaster form of a skull. He adds layers of clay and sculpts a face. He covers the work in silicone and adds details and color to the face. He also attaches hair, one single piece at a time. He says what makes the pieces seem so real, though, are the eyes.
I'm trying to build up an impression that there's someone home. When you look one of these things in the eyes, you feel that there's someone there. There's some presence. Because it really feels like it's more than just clay and plaster. Hopefully people will be a little bit creeped out by the final result because they're expecting to see an inanimate object, but what they're seeing is something that has a little bit of a soul.
The bronze sculptures capture the moments of the major changes in human development. Visitors follow their ancestors' footsteps as they move from model to model. They get to see a moment in which early hominids first walked on 2 feet. Visitors observe as brains get larger, fire is discovered, and early humans look for food and react to danger.
Human evolution, as revealed by the fossil record, is not just a matter of everything we think of as human sort of evolving in tandem together. It's much more of a mosaic affair where different things are added at different times. So each species that's a candidate for human ancestry has its own piece of the puzzle, the human puzzle that it added to the mix.
Another representation shows a private family moment in Neanderthal life. John Gerchy has created a young child watching his mother as she works with an animal skin. The boy's head is turned a little to the side and up, as if he is questioning something.
He's got a piece of skin also, and he's wondering, you know, about what she's doing and whether he should do the same thing. He's got kind of a quizzical tilt of his head, and she is sort of responding to him with a lot of joy, and hopefully you can see some encouragement there in her expression.
These are not emotions that Stacy Weinberg would usually link to humans that lived 70,000 years ago. Ms. Weinberg is visiting the exhibit with her 2 children.
We tend to think that we've evolved more and are, I guess, more intelligent than people that long ago, but it's cute because it's a very similar position to one that we might be in today.
That is the connection John Gerchy seeks in his work with our human relatives long past. The National Football League holds its yearly championship on Sunday. Last week, we talked about the teams that will play in this 48th Super Bowl. This week, Christopher Cruz reports on the entertainment planned for the game and plays some of the music that might be performed.
That is Renee Fleming, one of the greatest opera singers alive today. On Sunday, Ms. Fleming will experience a career first. She will become the first opera singer to perform the national anthem at the Super Bowl. The U.S. national anthem is called the Star-Spangled Banner. It is a famously difficult song to perform. But we are pretty sure that Renee Fleming will sing it with ease. After the first half of the game ends, there is a 30-minute break in play. A big stage is set up, and famous artists put on a show. Last year, Super Bowl 47, Beyoncé and Destiny's Child performed. Other past halftime entertainers include Madonna, The Who, Bruce Springsteen, and Britney Spears. This year, Bruno Mars is a Super Bowl performer. Good timing for the event's producers. Just last Sunday, Mars won the Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Album.
I know you're somewhere out there, somewhere far away. I want you back. My neighbors think I'm crazy, but they don't understand. You're all I have. You're all. Stars light up my room. I sit by myself, talking to the moon, trying to get to you.
And rock and roll fans can also enjoy the halftime show. The Red Hot Chili Peppers will perform at the Super Bowl for the first time.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, yo, listen what I say.
June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Carolyn Weaver and Roseanne Skirbel provided additional reporting. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
The more I see, the less I know, the more I like to live.